Verse number 19 of St. Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I want to preach tonight what I'm calling the three wonders of hell. A doctor and a preacher are alike in many respects. One night the doctor's phone rings. One of his patients is desperately ill. He has been called to their bedside to attempt to save that patient's life. It is an operation that he can perform, but he doesn't like to do it. But he has no choice. His patient is in a desperate condition, and if he is to save the life of this person that is at death's door, he must operate. Now, the preacher is much like that doctor. The man of God, he is that spiritual physician. He knows that there is something wrong with man, and God Almighty has already made the diagnosis. And the man of God must tell the sinner that he is lost for all eternity if he does not find God. God gives him no choice. He must speak the truth. He must tell man exactly where he will go without the grace of God. Can the church say amen? He must preach the truth, because it is true there is an eternal hell. We do not hear much about hell in our modern pulpits today. Someone said if there were more preaching about hell in the pulpit, maybe perhaps there would be less hell going on in the streets. My heart was brought to conviction the other day as I was praying in my study, and God caused me to realize that it has been too long, much too long, since I have preached to you about this awful place called hell. A cultured woman one time said to her preacher, I hate the very thought of hell. As if to say, there's no need. It's not at all necessary. Surely we do not have to come to church and listen to a man talk about such an awful place. I too hate the thought of hell. But I too also hate the thought of murder. I too hate the thought of ungodliness. I hate the thought of the penitentiary. I hate the thought of the electric chair. I hate the thought of many dreadful things that happen
in the world today, but they are nevertheless still true. And it is still true, friend, that while you sit in the comforts and the confines of this sanctuary and listen to me preach tonight, there is a place called hell. There is a place where the worm never dieth and the fire is not quenched. There is a place where the smoke of the torment of the damned ascend up forever and ever. There is a place called hell. Amen. No matter how descriptive my language, no matter how pictorial my vocabulary, and how I might try to paint you a place of this awful place called hell, there's no way you can understand this side of eternity how awful hell really is. If someone in hell tonight would send us back a report and try to cause us to imagine what hell is really like, we still could not even begin to understand how awful a place hell is. But heaven is such an awful place that Jesus spoke more about hell than He did His home heaven. And I want to tell you, there is a place somewhere beyond the other side. There is somewhere beyond death's door for the unsaved, a place called hell. I do not like to preach about hell, but if I am to preach the truth, I must preach that there is a hell. The first wonder of hell is the wonder of hell's reality. I say the wonder of hell's reality. Hell is a real place. It seems like if you read the Bible that God's original plan made no provision for hell. But because of Satan and his fallen angels, it was necessary that there be a place called hell prepared. And it is a prepared place because the Scripture said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. So that tells me that God did not prepare hell, or God did not make hell for man, but hell was made for the devil. Why then do men go to hell? The reason men go to hell is because they follow the devil to hell. Can you say amen? Jesus said several times that hell exists. He spoke of that place many times. He spoke of a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He spoke of that they should fear one who can cast the body and soul into hell. Jesus believed that hell existed. The Apostle Paul, he too believed that hell existed. For he said in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Paul said that hell existed. Peter also believed that hell existed. For Peter said, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jesus Christ said they was a hell. The Apostle Paul said they was a hell. And Peter said they was a hell. And this preacher tonight comes to tell you there is a place called hell. Help me, God. Imagine a person has just entered into hell. He might have been your neighbor. He might have been your friend. He might have been your family member. But after the roar of physical pain blasts him, he spends his moment, his first conscious moment, there among the wailing and the screaming and the gnashing of teeth. But after a season, perhaps he grows accustomed to his environment. He grows accustomed to his pain. Not that it becomes tolerable, but God has so ordained it in the afterlife that humanity's capacity to endure pain has been enlarged. What a thought. And though he hurts, he is now able to think. And instinctively he looks round about him, but as he searches to see, there is only inky blackness that swallows him up. in his past life, if he looked long enough in the dark, a glow of light would somehow yield its definition, and he would be able to ascertain his surroundings. But here in this awful dark pit of utter darkness, he cannot focus his eyes, and he strains to see through the inky blackness, but nothing will yield forth sight as he strains his eyes in every direction, because he is in a place called hell that is farthest removed from the light. He sees nothing. He can only hear the wails and the screams. And soon he realizes that the darkness that surrounds and swallows him will not give way. And so nervously he begins to feel. Nervously he begins to reach, trying to find something to hold on to, trying to find something to touch. He reaches for something solid. He reaches for something stable, something that he can lay his hand upon. But there are no rocks. They are neither walls. They are neither trees. There is nothing upon which he can stand upon, because hell, according to the Word of God, is a bottomless pit. Amen. Come on here now. A man continually and ever falling, but never coming to a stop. Eternally dying, but never knowing the relief that death would bring. Hell is a reality. I said hell is a reality.
Amen. He sobs. He cries. He wails. He chokes. Time passes, and this man that has gone to hell does exactly what the rich man done. He began to pray. You're here tonight and you have no time to pray. You have no time to seek God. You have no time to pray. But the biggest prayer meeting that has ever been recorded is going on right now in a place called hell. Who are the candidates for such an awful place? Who are the candidates for such an awful, awful place? The Revelation declares this: and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may say, I don't believe in hell. Come here to me. What is your opinion against the words of Jesus Christ? What is your opinion against the words of this King James Bible? What do you think? Do you think it really counts as opposed to what the Holy Ghost anointed the Apostle Paul to say? What do you think? Do you suppose it really matters as opposed to what the Holy Ghost anointed Peter to say and what John the Revelator said? I tell you what I'd do. I'd take this book right here and I'd believe what this Bible said. This Bible says there is a place called hell. The wonder of hell's reality. Some years ago, and perhaps you may have read the book, a doctor by the name of Maurice Rawlings, he was an M.D., encountered many people that were shocked back after having heart attacks. He wrote a book entitled Beyond Death's Door. And then later he wrote a book after the title of Audie Murphy's book, To Hell and Back. Dr. Maurice Rawlings, M.D., was a cardiologist and a professor of medicine at the University of Tennessee College of Medicine in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He acclaimed himself to be a devout atheist who considered all religion to be nothing more than hocus pocus, and to him death was nothing more than painless extinction. But in 1977, Rawlings himself was resuscitating a man who had come back from the edge of death. As the man came back, he was screaming and hollering, terrified. And this is what the M.D. wrote. Each time he regained heartbeat and respiration, the patient would scream, I am in hell! I am in hell!
He was terrified and pleaded with me to help him. I was scared to death. Then I noticed a genuinely alarmed look on his face. He had a terrified look, worse than any expression that he had ever seen. The patient had a grotesque grimace of horror upon his countenance. His pupils were dilated. He was perspiring and trembling. It looked as if the hair on his head were standing on end. And every time that doctor resuscitated him, he would come back and scream, "Please help me, please help me." After a number of this incidences happening to this Dr. Rawlings, he began to write reports of things that happened. And this is what he said: "Just listening to those patients has changed my whole life. There is life after death. And if I don't know where I'm going, it's not safe for me to die." How about you tonight, hearer? How about you tonight, under the sound of my voice? Should you leave this life tonight, do you know where you're going? If you do not know where you're going, it's not safe for you to die. If you cannot look this preacher in the face tonight and tell me you're ready to stand before God, it's not safe for you to die. I said it's not safe for you to die if you don't know where you're going. Help me, God. The wonder of hell's reality is secondly followed by the wonder of hell's retribution. A minister was one time preaching on the subject of hell. He painted it very vividly and very, very clearly in the mind of every hearer, until one of the men after the service came up to him and said, "Now hold on, preacher. You've gone just a little bit too far. If hell is just as bad as you say it is, we just won't stand for it. You think you're going to change it? You think you're going to change it? You think your idea is going to change it? Jesus said that this rich man cried, 'I am tormented.'" The Word of God uses the word fire in its many descriptions of hell. There are those who question the fact if that is real fire. But all the evidence that I read in the Word of God point to the truth that it is literal fire. Okay, you say, "Preacher, it's only a picture of fire." Well, if what we read is only a picture of what hell is, you will have to agree with me that the reality of hell is worse than the picture. Okay. If what I have preached to you thus far is only a picture, you'll have to accept it's worse than the picture. Oh, God. I wouldn't want to go near a real forest fire. It would be too dangerous. Amen? Oh, God. Memory will provide the fuel for the fire of hell. Abraham said unto that rich man, "Son, remember." He had to leave his money. He had to leave his possessions all behind. But there was one thing that rich man took to hell with him. He took his memory to hell with him. Help me while I preach. The murderer in hell will remember the face of his victim. The gambler in hell will recall the one that he cheated. The rejecter of Christ will remember the opportunities that he passed up. as the man of God pled for his soul. The backslider in hell will remember this service tonight when Brother Shad MacDowell at 519 Graham preached on the three wonders of hell. And when you get to hell, you will remember. I said you will remember that God dealt with your heart and Holy Ghost conviction reached out and tried to deal with your lost soul, because there is a real place called hell where man will answer to God for his sins. Our sins will add to the fuel of the fire of hell. Amen? I seen something like this once at Brother Howe's some years ago. Someone had filled a large can with old engine oil and put it on top of a stove and threw a small hole in the can. Oil dropped down, just dropped into the stove, just a drop at a time. But Hal, didn't you used to have an old stove like that? Yeah, still got it. Just a drop at a time. Oh, God. Just a drop constantly enough to keep the fire burning. Somebody needs to pray for the preacher. Amen. Creating a continuous flame, one drop of oil at a time. So every sin committed by a lost person will drop down into the fires of hell, bringing added agony to their lost soul. The sins of youth will be added to the fire. The sins of middle age will be added to the fire. The sins of old men and women will be added to the fire. And the fires will burn on forever and forever and forever. Conscience will be part of the fuel of that fire. Oh, how awful to be in hell for all eternity and only to be in anguish and remorse of what might have been. You say, preacher, it is not fair that there be a just God and He allow there to be such a place called hell. My friend, I submit to you that if there were not a place called hell, He would not be a just God. When I consider God's justice, and when I consider God being a righteous God, I can only accept the fact that there is a place called hell. And it is a place where men will go for the supreme sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. There are many sins which be the fruit, but there is one sin which is the root, and that sin is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. For Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That's why the lost man will go to hell, because he believed not. That's why the sinner man will go to hell, because he believed not. Many years ago, there was a preacher that was pastoring in Richmond, Indiana, and a woman of great means and culture come to him. And she said, "I have been attending your services for a while and listening to you preach, and you have broken me all to pieces." And she said, "For 10 years my life has been a physical and a mental wreck." She said, "When I was in college, I literally stole my diploma. I took the final examination paper of another girl and put my name on it. And I put her name on my paper. I received my diploma and she failed. And now for 10 years, what I've done has burned me worse than the fires of hell. What can I do?" The preacher told her to go to that young lady that she had wronged and make her wrong right. Repent to God Almighty and be saved. Here is the conclusion I want you to consider. If someone's conscience would so torment them in this life over a wrong committed if someone's conscience would wreck their mentality and ruin their physical body and drive them to a nervous breakdown over the sin that they've done here, if their conscience would do that to them here. Pray tell, can you tell me what retribution God will demand of us in eternity? My friend, you see, your rejection of Christ will be part of the fuel. The hottest fire that will ever burn in hell is the condemnation that you could have got saved. You could have come back to God. You could have admitted your failure. You could have repented. You could have come clean. You could have got right with God. You could have repented. But you were self-willed and you were stubborn and you were full of bitterness. And because of that, you'll die lost and go to hell.
Oh, God. I preached to you about the wonder of hell's reality. And secondly, the wonder of hell's retribution. In closing, I want to speak to you concerning the wonder of hell's residents. The people in hell come from every class, every clime, and every color. There are some people that live in Texarkana or Miller County that maybe you feel that you are just a little bit too good to have to associate with. But in hell, all men will suffer with the lowest of the low. Have you ever read Revelation 21 and 8? And seen the society roster of hell? But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ah, but preacher, you didn't name me. You didn't call my name. I'm not one of those idolaters. I'm not one of those liars. I'm not one of those sorcerers or whoremongers or murderers or one that's abominable. Yes, but I did say unbelievers. And you see, many people will go to hell all the while believing that there's no such place. And then there's others that will go to hell all the while unbelieving that they themselves are going to hell. For no doubt, out of this crowd that's here tonight, there's probably not a one of you, no matter how wicked your heart is, no matter how sinful you are, no matter what ungodly, despicable deeds you may have done this very day in the sight of God, you don't think you're going to hell. You that are filled with sexual sins, you that are overcome with hatred and bitterness, you that every word you speak spews venom of hatred, never got anything good to say about anybody. You going to help me while I preach or sit there and look at me a while? Yeah. You think hell is a place for that wicked man. Somehow or another, you don't view the sin of your own heart as being wicked. And I'm preaching you, there's a place called hell. And men and women are going there. According to the world standards, by what the world would say, hardly anybody is going to hell. But that ain't what the Bible says. According to what the Word of God says, the Word of God tells me that there's a broad highway and it's crowded with many, many people and they're going down to a place called hell. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, help me, God.
Some years ago, my dad was called to the hospital room. A man was unsaved. He did not know God. He admitted that to my dad. My dad tried everything within his power to get that man to pray. He said, "Brother McDonald, I won't pray today, but I want you to pray for me that I'll get saved before I die. I don't want to go to hell." Dad felt an urgency. He felt so strong to try to get that man to pray, but the man would not pray. A day and a half later, ever what the time frame was, they called Dad and told Dad the man had passed away and asked Dad to preach the man's funeral. And Dad said, "The only thing I..." Tonight, if there's anyone that wants to go to hell, there would not be a hand lifted. But if I ask you, were you willing to rise from your seat and come down to this altar and confess your sins to God? If you're willing to get up from where you're at and admit the hatred and the bitterness and the unforgiveness that is in your heart, if you're willing to leave your pew and come to this altar and make your calling and election sure, how many of you would stay in your seat because you're too proud and you're too self-willed and you'd rather sit in your seat and go to hell than admit to God that you're a sinner and you need God's mercy in your heart tonight? Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Carl Steinman. Carl Steinman was fascinated by volcanoes, and he went up Mount St. Helens, and against the advice of his guide, he ventured to the edge of that active volcano. At that present time, that volcano was showing signs of erupting. And as Steinman leaned over the edge, he heard the earth grumbling and quaking, and it suddenly threw him forward. He fell over into a crater, and his feet were lodged between two blocks of lava, and there he hung over that yawning gulf, suspended over the mouth of Mount St. Helens. He was rescued, but he later wrote and said, "Oh, the horrors of that awful realization there over the mouth of that black and heated abyss. I was held suspended, a helpless, conscious prisoner to be hurled downward by the very next convulsion of trembling nature. Help! Help! Help!" I cried, "For the love of God, somebody, please help." I shrieked in the very agony of my despair. I had nothing to do but rely on the mercy of heaven. And I prayed to God as if I never prayed before. I prayed for the forgiveness of sins. I prayed that somebody would rescue me. I prayed that somebody would come to my aid. Amen. Someone shouted, "I warned you. I warned you not to lean over." And Simon cried back and said, "Please forgive me, but save me. I'm perishing." Well, let me see if I can wind this thing up tight. I've already told you there's a hell. I've already told you that lost men are going there. But I'm not going to leave you hanging over the pit tonight. I'm not going to leave you hanging over the brink. I'm going to tell you that God will save you. I'm going to tell you that redemption will reach down and save you. I'm going to tell you that God will reach where you're at and lift you up from that pit of corruption. God will lift you up and save you tonight. Stand all over the house. Sister Lisa, come and get me a song. Lift your hands and ask God to help this preacher make an altar tonight. Lift your hands and ask God to help me make an altar tonight. My message to you tonight has been the three wonders of hell. I have preached to you that hell is a real place. Hell is a place of retribution. Hell is a place that is filled with residents for all time. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. One day, history says, when Calvin Coolidge was vice president, he was presiding over the Senate. A fellow politician who was a senator became enraged at the vice president, and right there in the hearing of all of Senate, this senator told the vice president to go straight to hell. Hallelujah. The vice president looked up, and there was a Bible nearby, and he said, where all of Senate could hear. He said, I've been looking through the rule book, and it says you don't have to go. Woo! Hallelujah! There is a place called hell. But I've been reading through the rule book, and the rule book tells me you don't have to go. We need Holy Ghost conviction to fall in the house tonight and fall on a backslider right here tonight. We need Holy Ghost conviction to come in the house and save right here in this house tonight. Hear me, backslider. Hear me, friend. There is a place called hell. But God loved you so much that He sent you a message tonight to tell you you don't have to go. For yea, saith God, my eyes are upon you, and I will tell thee that my hand is still outstretched toward thee. I have spoken to thee, I have wooed thee, I have drawn thee, but yet thou hast went farther and farther from me, saith God. But I will tell thee the direction that you're heading is a direction that will lead you to destruction. It is a way, saith God, that will lead to death. Is it a way, saith God, that will lead you to damnation? Wherein have I wronged thee, my son? Wherein have I, God, wronged thee, my child? Have I not blessed you? Have I not given you the desires of your heart? Have I not kept my hand upon you, saith God? Why would you reject my grace and go to hell? Why would you reject my mercy and be lost, saith God? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Now, before the Lord ever gave me this message, He knew who would be in this service. But there's somebody in this house tonight. You're headed to hell just as fast as you can. And eventually, if you don't change your direction, you're going to get there after a while. Oh, God. Daddy. Mom, before you point fingers, let's all look at ourselves.
Because that hatred you got in your heart is going to take you to hell. That jealousy that you've got in your heart that's been there for years is going to take you to hell. That unforgiveness that's been there for as long as I've known you is going to take you to hell if you don't get it out.
Well, now come here, preacher. Just how do you know my heart? I know your heart by what comes out your mouth. I can't see your heart, but I got good ears. I can hear what you say.
You need God to do such a work in your heart that He'll take out all that ill will, all that unforgiveness, all of that hatred, all of that bitterness. Fill your heart with love until when you open your mouth, you've got good things to say, kind things to say, charitable things to say. Pride's going to take a many a man to hell. Pride's going to take a many a woman to hell. Too proud to go and say, I'm sorry. Too proud to go and say, I lied. I lied. You know, it always amuses me, those that say, if I've done it, you know whether you did or not. Just go ahead and admit it. If you said it, confess it. There's a real hell, and you're going there. You afraid to leave this world? You afraid to die right now? If before I get back to that pulpit, somebody under the sound of my voice checks out, where are you going? I was at Bristow, Oklahoma when Mike Blue preached, there's a dead man in the house. And before the congregation broke that night, a man had a massive heart attack and died and went out to meet God. I wonder, is there somebody right here on the sound of my voice? You fixing to check out of here? How is it with you and God? Now, I feel the Holy Ghost on me here tonight. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it! You ready to leave this world, sir? How about it, ma'am? How about it, young man? You ready to meet God? Oh, God. Is the pleasure of sin for a season worth going to hell over? Give me time, preacher. I got a plan. Let me do what I want to do. Then I'll get saved. God is saying now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm asking somebody to get up out of their seat and run to this altar while you can. Holy, holy, holy. I said you need to get up out of that seat and run to this altar while you can and ask God to have mercy on your soul. You need to get up out of that seat and run to this altar and ask God to have mercy on you tonight. How is it between you and God? If my phone rings at 4 in the morning, and someone says, Brother Shad, come quick, how is it for yourself? It's going to happen just that way. You're going to leave here sometime, just like I am. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? You see, tonight I'm like the doctor, and I've got news to tell you. And it's not what you want to hear. But the news is, there is a place called hell. And if you don't get your heart right with God, you're going there.
Laugh it off. Put it off. Run your mouth. Storm the preacher. Criticize the church. But still, if you're unsaved, when you die, you're going to hell, mister. Get all the enjoyment you can. Laugh all you can. Have all the fun you can. Because when you leave here, you're going to hell, mister. But the good news is, the rule book says you don't have to. Now the Holy Ghost ain't through here yet. You might get through, but the Holy Ghost ain't through. Young man, listen to the man of God tonight. Life is short. Don't put God off till tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow.